Good morning and you're very welcome here to Life on News Talk. We're going to be talking about rites of passage first off this morning. My first three guests will be talking to us about those films, the books, the bands, the gigs that made an impression on them and for generations of teenagers. The court case that could give illegal downloaders free rein on the internet. We'll be hearing about that a small bit later. Our dilemma doctors will be here with us offering their knowledge and expertise free of charge to solve your troubles. And the big question of the day, why do we itch? That'll be answered on the show this morning. And we've a fab weekend for a family of four to give away this week, all with thanks to Wexford Cheddar. Our comment lines are open 1890 453 106. You can text us on 53106 at a cost of 30 cent or email the show live at newstalk.ie. And we are talking about rites of passage from a cultural viewpoint this morning. Let me introduce my first guest. I'm joined by writer and songwriter Shay Healy, by author Maeve Binchy and freelance journalist Owen Butler, and also to the listeners, as my three guests are chatting this morning, do feel free to join and in the discussion and tell us what exactly movies, books, whatever stood out for you as well over the years. And I was talking just before we were coming on there, Shade, about The Catcher in the Rye, because I know both you and Owen mentioned The Catcher in the Rye as one of those books, although you were saying to me, well, actually, Orla, it was your mum, was it, that pushed you towards The Catcher in the Rye?
Eventually, but she pushed you towards Ernest Hemingway first. And I suppose one of the most significant books was Death in the Afternoon, which glorified the art of bullfighting. Hemingway was fascinated. And from that, when I was about 14, my mother gave me The Lives of the Great Bullfighters, Manolete, Joselito, Dominguez, these people. So that was one mad strain of it. And then she also gave me all the great escape novels from the Second World War, written by British airmen mostly. And I remember I was telling this to a first cousin of mine. I said, you know, mad bullfighters and escapees. And he said to me, sure, wasn't she a Kerry woman?
and these were, would you have seen them as a kind of a rite of passage, though? Would you have seen Ernest Hemingway as someone that made a huge impression on you as a young teenager, that in some way opened you up to a world that you weren't familiar with?
I think that's exactly what it did. And my mother was a very rabid kind of Catholic, high moral values, but she was very liberal in what she let me read. I read Erskine Caldwell's God's Little Acre, which probably would have been too old for me as well. So by the time I got to The Catcher in the Rye, I wouldn't say, I was a teenager in the late 50s, so I wasn't clued in at all, and The Catcher in the Rye was, it was like a map pointed the way with the compass, you know. Mm. So for that reason, Holden Caulfield is forever etched into all our memories.
Where did you get The Catcher in the Rye, Owen? Was it taught? Because I know
it was never taught. I got it as well. I got it from my father. He used to, sometimes his work would take him away, go up to Dublin or something, and he used to get me Tintin books. And then one time when I was pretty young, maybe 11 or 12, he came back with this instead. And I think I might have read it in one go. I think I just, it starts, the first line of it starts like he's just talking to you, like he's just sitting beside you and he's talking to you. And I was, and I mean, it says something for that, but like I was hesitant to mention it first because it's slightly, it's almost kind of hackneyed. Mm. But if I'd said it was any other book, it would be a lie. It really was that book. I mean, it's such an incredible book. And I think probably a testament to it is the fact that, you know, it's written kind of upper middle class Manhattan in the late 40s, early 1950s, and here is I, a guy in the 90s in Mayo, you know, who could completely relate to it, you know. But I have to admit, I didn't read it again. I haven't read it since, you know, when I would have read it maybe 10 times then. I haven't read it since. I flicked through it in Easton's this morning, and while it's undoubtedly like a coming of age book, in fact, it's probably the definitive coming of age book. When I was with the page I happened to flick through and I looked at it this morning was where he mentions where the name of the book comes from, you know. Mm. And he's actually trying to stop people. His idea of being the catcher in the rye is that he would stop children from crossing over into adulthood, and what he would see as the phoniness or whatever of it. So I suppose that is kind of ironic, but still it is without a doubt the definitive coming of age book, I would think.
Yeah. Maeve Binchy, good morning to you.
Good morning, Orla.
Maeve, what was it for you then?
Well, you see, when you talk about the coming of age book and teenagers and everything like that, I'm so old, I think that teenagers weren't really kind of invented when I was young. You're nearly out of your teens before you realised you were in them. So all these lovely stories I hear about people at 13 and 14, when they're changing over from childhood to adulthood, fill me with envy, because I don't suppose I've grown up yet, and I'm in my late 60s. But I certainly didn't grow up much as a child. I remember the books I was reading, always reading books that were a little bit too grown up for me. Mickey Spillan and Peter Cheney and Guy de Maupassant stories. And François Mauriac was a Catholic writer, even though he wrote grand sexy things. Because he was a Catholic, you felt you could get away with it, like Graham Greene. And came from a family where my father used to buy a book almost every day. And there was a cheap second-hand bookshop in Tower Street where my father used to get on the train every day. It's called the Bamba Bookshop. And he used to buy a second-hand book there. It would be cheaper than an evening paper. And so my house, I'm sitting here now looking up. I still have all those old green crime fiction penguins and the orange ones, which was ordinary fiction. And I learned to read very, very quickly, and always things are much older than I did. I seem to have skipped Enid Blyton and the Shelley School and all that. Mm. But I was still I still wasn't really properly grown up, and I didn't do that in my teens. Oh, so, you know, when I was thinking about this, because you asked before and we came on the program to think about it, I started thinking of songs that were popular when I was in my teens, and I realised that I must be a really late developer, because those weren't my teens at all when I looked them up. They were my mid-20s.
Yeah. I mean, you're right in saying when Owen says at the age of 11 he read The Catcher in the Rye, I don't know how I'd reacted at the age of 11 to reading The Catcher in the Rye, Owen. And actually, can you remember your response? I mean, did you, as you said, it's written in the first person, so you're drawn to this first person character immediately. But as you're reading through his life, did you associate as an 11-year-old in Mayo with this fella?
Completely, yeah.
And feel like you understood, feel like you...
Yeah, I mean, the things that he does in the book were never things I couldn't have dreamed of, you know, checking into a hotel and hooking up with prostitutes and stuff like that. The chances of doing that in Ballyhonest were kind of remote now. But no, but I could still relate to the way, and I mean, the contradictions, you know, he lashes out at the hypocrisy of everyone else while not ever recognising the contradictions of what he does. Is his younger sister actually has more, seems like he talks about the innocence of childhood, but his younger sister, who actually is a child, is much more clued in than he is in a lot of ways. Just the contradictions and the just kind of resentment of all kind of adult authority. Yeah. I think is something that's pretty universal. Yeah.
Let's and listeners are.